Hello and welcome to the Master of Demon Gorge podcast. Today we're talking about Yan Ying, the Short King. Last week we talked about how, in Chinese tradition, the court historians were honor-bound to write the truth, even at the cost of their own lives. A famous example of this happening related to Cui Zhu, who was a minister of the state of Qi during the spring and autumn period in the 6th century BC. Hopefully you remember the story, more or less, from last week. Cui Zhu helped to put Duke Zhuang of Qi, also called the later Duke Zhuang of Qi, on the throne. But then Duke Zhuang started having an affair with his wife. So Cui Zhu had him killed and put Duke Zhuang's younger brother on the throne. This was Duke Jing of Qi. The protagonist of our story today was present while all this was going on. And when all was said and done, he would end up with a far greater reputation than Cui Zhu, than the dukes, than even the historians who were prepared to sacrifice their lives for the sake of the truth. Today we're telling the story of Yan Ying. Yan Ying's father was a great-grandson of Duke Mu of Song, a member of the aristocracy of course, the state of Song. But it wasn't unusual at this time, during the spring and autumn era, for aristocrats from one state to move to another state and end up serving their new country. So, during political turmoil in the state of Song, Yan Ying's father moved to the state of Qi in today's province of Shandong on the east coast, where Yan Ying was born in 578 BC. And he grew up to be exceptionally short. How short was he? Well, in various passages about him, he was described as not even 5 feet tall. We should be clear that the measure the ancient Chinese were using at this time was not equivalent to the imperial measure foot familiar to us today. The measures also could differ depending on region. So we cannot be quite sure how short Yan Ying really was. If he was a little under 5 feet, according to today's definition, then he would have been on the low end of an adult human's normal size. But a foot during the Zhou Dynasty and into the Warring States era might be anywhere from as little as 19 centimeters to just over 23 centimeters. An English foot is just over 30 centimeters. So Yan Ying might have been under 1 meter, or about 3 foot tall, by modern reckoning. That would put him in Peter Dinklage territory, as it were. Anyway, so Yan Ying was exceptionally short and unimpressive in appearance, and so people often disrespected him. But intellectually, he was brilliant. He was particularly skilled at debate. And with intellect came tremendous confidence. And so I think it's fair to call him a short king. Yan Ying became an official in the state of Qi. So he was on the political scene, he was a member of the court, when Cui Zhu killed the previous duke and got a new one. But Yan Ying was neither involved in the coup nor closely associated with Duke Zhuang so as to be considered one of his men that Cui Zhu had to get rid of. After Cui Zhu killed the duke, when Yan Ying appeared, Cui Zhu's people demanded to know whether Yan Ying planned on killing himself in order to follow Duke Zhuang into the underworld, as closely associated courtiers might have been expected to do out of loyalty. Yan Ying replied, "Why would I do that? It's not as though he was only my duke. He was everyone's duke, and I don't see you committing suicide." So they asked, "In that case, do you plan to run and go into exile?" Yan Ying replied, "Why would I do that? It's not as though I was responsible for the murder, and it's not as though I caused the duke to have an affair with another man's wife." And then Yan Ying gave an interesting statement on his ethical and political position. Interesting because it strikes me as curiously modern and legalistic compared to the historical and cultural background of the time. In essence, Yan Ying argued that the monarch was not the sovereign that his ministers served. The state, the abstract concept of the polity, was the sovereign. So the minister's loyalty was to the state, and a loyal minister would ethically die for his state, he should do so, if the purpose of state calls for it. But it made no sense for the minister to die for the monarch personally, for the monarch's personal purposes. In this case, Duke Zhuang got himself killed because he was sleeping with another man's wife. That was a personal matter, not a matter of state. So there was no obligation on his ministers to die with him. In this connection, two things come to mind. First, although the concept of an abstract republic or commonwealth is familiar to us moderns, let's not forget that the British, for example, still regard their king as the literal physical embodiment of their state, the body politic. Second, in modern law, we distinguish between acts that a public official does in the capacity of the office and in a personal capacity. The US president, for example, cannot be personally sued for, say, ordering the military to do something. That's an act of state, an act constitutionally within the president's job description as the commander-in-chief of the army and the navy. But he or she can be personally liable for, say, defrauding a business associate in private personal dealings. God forbid. So these ideas aren't strange in the modern world, but in the 6th century BC in China, pretty remarkable. Anyway, then Yan Ying went to pay respect to the dead Duke Zhuang, and he shed some tears with apparently deep feeling. So Cui Zhu's men said, "We should probably kill this guy." But Cui Zhu knew that Yan Ying was famous and popular, so he held off. Then, later, more political upheaval led to the death of Cui Zhu. But both Duke Jing and Yan Ying survived and carried on. Then, one time, Yan Ying traveled to the state of Chu as a diplomat to see the king of Chu. The Chu ministers, knowing that Yan Ying was exceptionally short, decided to try to humiliate him. They ordered the guards to keep the city gates closed. Yan Ying arrived and saw that the gates were closed and said, basically, "Hey, what's going on?" The guards said, "Well, there is this tiny door over here, which a normal-sized man would never be able to fit through, but you can surely get in this way, no problem." Yan Ying replied, "Well, yes, when I visit a nation of dogs, I expect to go through a little door meant for dogs. But if I visit a nation of human beings, then I expect to use the gates like human beings do." The Chu guards were embarrassed and let him through the gates. Then the gathered ministers of Chu, as a group, debated him one by one, again in an effort to embarrass him. Naturally, he out-argued each of them, so that in the end, it was the Chu ministers who felt humiliated. I should say here that I'm a little suspicious of this story in its staging and narrative. The story rather resembles the tale from the later Three Kingdoms era of Zhuge Liang debating the gathered ministers of Wu. But then again, narrative similarity doesn't mean it didn't happen. Similar events obviously can happen in different time periods. Finally, the king of Chu came out to meet him. He was struck by how short Yan Ying was, and he asked, "Did the state of Qi have no one else to serve as an ambassador so that they had to send a tiny man like you?" Yan Ying replied, "The state of Qi has many capable men in its service, and the custom of Qi is to send the most capable man to the most respectable country, the next most capable man to the next most respectable country, and so on. Naturally, I was sent to your country." Yan Ying eventually rose to become chancellor of the state of Qi, and he took pains to recommend benevolent policies to Duke Jing, such as giving food assistance to the poor. For these policies, none other than Confucius himself, who was a younger contemporary of Yan Ying, praised him profusely. Now, today when we say a man is a short king, sometimes we mean he can also be quite attractive, sexually. So, there are a couple of stories about Yan Ying involving women. One time, Duke Jing went to Yan Ying's house and saw Yan Ying's wife for the first time. After the lady went into the other room, the Duke said to Yan Ying, "Is that your wife?" Yan Ying said, "Yes." The Duke said, "But she's old and ugly. Look, my daughter is young and attractive. If you want to marry her, just say the word and I'll arrange it." A reminder here that marriages in ancient China, particularly among aristocrats, were often arranged for the sake of expediency and are not affairs of the heart. So there wasn't necessarily an expectation of loyalty to one's wife. Additionally, powerful aristocrats often took young and attractive concubines for pleasure. In this case, the Duke was asking Yan Ying if he wanted to marry his daughter. So he was offering a marriage alliance with Yan Ying, showing how much he valued the chancellor. But it also meant that if Yan Ying were to accept, he'd have to divorce his existing wife. The new lady, being the Duke's daughter, couldn't be a mere concubine, but had to be a proper wife. And a man could only have one proper wife. Yan Ying declined. "My wife may be getting on in years and may not be much to look at," he said. "But she was once young and beautiful, and when she was young, I promised to take care of her for the rest of her life. I'm not going to renege on my promise now just because she's gotten old." Today we might say that that's just how a good husband ought to behave. But in his time and context, this was pretty notable. Certainly the Duke was impressed. "If a man is so loyal to his wife," he said, "then surely he can only be loyal to his country." Another time, the wife of Yan Ying's carriage driver happened to catch sight of her husband driving the chancellor around town. The driver, feeling quite honored to be the chancellor's driver, rather than working for some lesser personage, carried himself proudly as he moved through the city. When the carriage driver came home from work, the wife told him that she wanted a divorce. Shocked, the driver asked why. His wife said, "Look at the chancellor. He's 5 foot tall, but everyone respects him, and yet he conducts himself with such modesty. Look at you. You're a big, tall, strapping fellow, but you're only a carriage driver, and yet you conduct yourself like you're some kind of important man." The driver took her words to heart and behaved modestly after that. Yan Ying noticed this change in his driver's behavior and asked him about it. The driver told him what his wife said. Yan Ying, seeing that the man was capable of self-improvement, recommended him for a job as a government official. Another famous story about Yan Ying, though, at once may not be factual and is rather bloody. Basically, there were these three generals in the court of Duke Jing. Two of them supposedly had saved the duke's life at different times from wild animals. One fought off a tiger with his bare hands, and another jumped in the river and wrestled a giant turtle that threatened to capsize the duke's boat. The third distinguished himself in war. These three generals were also best friends with each other. But they started growing arrogant, failed to pay the duke and other officials the requisite respect, and began to act like they might one day threaten to take over. Yan Ying wanted to get rid of them. So, at a party hosted by the duke, Yan Ying contrived it so that the duke had two fresh peaches to give away as a sign of his favor. The three generals, being arrogant, naturally felt that they most deserved the peaches. But there were three of them and only two peaches. So the duke gave two guys a peach each and left the third guy standing there like an idiot. This guy felt humiliated, so he drew his sword and cut his own throat. The other two guys now felt terrible because their best friend had committed suicide, so they killed themselves too. And this story about Yan Ying came to be called "Er Tao Sha San Shi," to kill three men with two peaches. Another state, hearing that the Qi lost three generals in one day, attacked. Duke Jing was terribly worried. But Yan Ying said, "Don't worry. I recommend this other guy as general. He may not be a great fighter like these three, but he's a better leader and organizer." Events proved Yan Ying right, as the Qi army easily beat back the invaders. Superior discipline and leadership of the army proved to be far more important than the physical courage of individual officers. Yan Ying in this story comes across as frighteningly manipulative. But like I said, there's some doubt as to its veracity. First of all, as I often complain about many stories from ancient China, did people really commit suicide so easily back then? Secondly, the story first appeared in Yanzi Chunqiu, or the History of Master Yan, which was composed during the Warring States period, a period a couple of centuries after Yan Ying's lifetime. It then grew popular during the Han Dynasty. But the version of the story we have now probably didn't form until even later, until the Qing Dynasty, so the late 3rd or even 4th or 5th century AD. Thirdly, the story reminds me of a Greek myth, and therefore perhaps fits within a kind of Jungian paradigm for fables. The Greek myth it reminds me of course, the Judgment of Paris. The goddess Thetis was marrying Peleus, a mortal king. They chose not to invite to their wedding Eris, the goddess of discord, because, well, she was the goddess of discord. Upset, Eris showed up at the wedding anyway with a golden apple inscribed with the words, to the fairest one. Three Olympian goddesses present, Hera, Athena, and Aphrodite, then competed for the apple. And they agreed to make a mortal man the judge as to which one of them was the fairest. That man was Paris, a prince of Troy. Aphrodite, goddess of love, then bribed Paris by promising him the most beautiful woman in the world, Helen, queen of Sparta. Paris duly declared Aphrodite the fairest of them all, and then carried off Helen from her husband, Menelaus. As a result, the Greeks banded together and attacked Troy, leading to the Trojan War. Do you think my comparison of this tale of Yan Ying with the judgment of Paris is a bit far-fetched? Well, maybe a little. But in its essential element, the triggering of discord between three individuals by promising the reward of an insufficient number of a fruit is the same. Anyway, Yan Ying lived to the ripe old age of around 78, dying in his bed in 500 BC as a powerful and respected statesman. And he went down in Chinese history as a great man, a great short king, if there ever was one. This has been MODG. Thank you for listening.